You know, and then thing about that is, you know, the reputation. You know, that guy sold me a truck knowing that that truck was fucked up.
Right.
And I promise, I made a prompt pact to myself that I would never do that.
Right.
You know, to anyone.
Yeah.
Dude, it's just not fair.
Real business owner.
Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
What's up, all you real business owners? Welcome back to another Real Business Owners podcast, episode 128. You got the crew, me and Trevor. Say what up, Trevor.
What's up, Trevor?
We also got
gang.
We also got a special guest for you guys. This is Justin, pretty boy, Shainer.
What's up?
He's our homie from Apex, as well as he's just a badass in business. We wanted to have him on, you guys, because he's built an amazing brand in his community. Even just what he was showing me on the videos before we jumped on, man, I can tell from what we talked about when I saw in your video, like, you've really built this thing on your reputation, and reputation is like the thing that everybody should be striving for in business, and I just think you've done a really good job of that. And so I think it's going to be a great conversation today. But welcome.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm looking forward to this.
How long have you been in business? Because we're talking about reputation, and unfortunately, those things take a little bit of time to build. You know, it's not like somebody comes out of the gate month one, they've got a great reputation. It's reputation usually comes from word of mouth, right? Like, and being involved in your community over a long period of time. So
I've been doing this for 22 years. I've been building trucks.
Okay. Yeah.
Started off my parents' garage, man.
Yeah. I love those type of stories. You
know, rent free, baby.
Rent free. There it is.
100%
3 years of rent free.
Yeah. So
all the best businesses are started in garages, man.
Yeah. Started in somebody's
Amazon,
basement.
Outlaw.
Garages, you know, something
Outlaw
like
Texas.
That. Yep.
There it is.
Is that what's the name of your company so everybody gets familiar with it as well?
Outlaw Off-Road of Texas.
And you specialize in everything off-road in terms of trucks, putting lift, tires,
wheels, suspensions, performance, shocks. Yeah.
Make it go fast.
100%, 110%, you know? Man.
So you've been, why did you get into it? Is it, you always been a dude that's just been good with your hands and you've been tinkering with shit and then it just kind of morphed from a hobby to a business? Or
it did, but it goes a little deeper than that, man. I got a cool little story.
Yeah.
When I was 15, I bought my first truck for $1,500. So I got an 80 Chevrolet, had a 4-inch lift on it. I was asking my dad, I was like, how do we find out?
You were trying to get a panty dropper with a big lift.
Exactly.
When 16.
Hell yeah, dude. I knew exactly what I wanted. I had all those off-road magazines stacked up in my house, you know?
Yeah.
And so I bought a black truck, 84 Chevy, or 80 Chevrolet, long bed. And I was asking my dad how we find out gear ratios, because gears compensate for tire size to help make the truck run 100%. So we checked it out, read the magazine, had a figure out what gear ratio
make
it
those
had.
Adjustments, yeah.
Right. And just to figure out what it had in it to if we need to make those adjustments.
Gotcha.
Found out they weren't matching front and rear. The front had 308s, the rear had 373s. Had I put it in four-wheel drive, that transfer case and transmission would have exploded on me. As a 15-year-old kid, that wouldn't have been cool.
Mm.
So we had to strip the whole truck down, and I had to find used axles to put together and make this truck 110% drivable where I could put it in four-wheel drive if I was so chose to.
Mm.
So my dad was a general mechanic, knew the basics, but I really got into that when we had to pull the lift kit off and all that. And then after that, I just started falling in love with it and my own shit up, man.
Yeah.
How many generations of gearheads are your family, bro? Does it go back a while?
It just started with my dad, but the hustling goes back with my grandparents and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
My grandfather, he would rebuild lawnmowers and bikes and buy them at garage sales, rebuild them and sell them.
Yeah.
And so that's where I got that hustle nature from. And I've been hustling, you know, baseball cards and stuff since I was 11, 12 years old.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? He had a problem and he fixed his problem.
Yeah.
And then eventually it turned into a business.
Yeah. Fixing other people's problems.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like
building other people's desires.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Like you had a problem. You knew if you put it in four wheel drive, it'd blow the thing into pieces. Right.
Right.
And so you're like, let's tear it apart. Let's fix it. And here you are, you know, 22 years later. You know, running a business, had you not bought that truck and maybe dug into it and did that and tinkered with your hands, you wouldn't have maybe got to 22 years in business.
100%.
Right? And so,
you know, and then thing about that is, you know, the reputation. You know, that guy sold me a truck knowing that truck was fucked up.
Right.
And I made a prompt pact to myself that I would never do that.
right? Mm.
You know, to anyone.
Yeah.
Dude, it's just not fair, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't.
Especially a 15-year-old kid. Some kid just bought Kel's old F-250 or 350 or something like that because he upgraded.
The old 06, bro.
06.
Oh, yeah.
That was the hunting truck. It was the hunting or camping truck that would pull the trailer up, you know, up the hills. But some kid came and was talking to him. Kel had it for whatever, 15 grand. And the kid, Kel's like, oh, man, I like this kid. So it just gives him a discount and, like, actually hooks him up. And that's what you should be doing when kids are out there.
I put my ad, too. I'm like, this is the 06, 6.0. Yeah. They're known for having problems.
6-point blow.
Yeah.
Because they blow up.
Yeah. I said, I haven't had any problems with it. The guy that owned it before me, he did the chipping, the tuning, the new...
bulletproofing.
Yeah, they did the bulletproofing. This one needed... in new injectors, I guess the old injectors were too small and they were getting gunked up, like as far as the pathway. I don't know. I don't know all the gear talk, bro. But like,
so I didn't do the maintenance on it.
I bet bought it that way.
I bet you didn't do the maintenance on it, is what the problem was.
Not me. I never had a problem with it. I just kept. I took
He never
it
had
in.
A problem.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The guy before you. My bad.
He bulletproofed it. So okay. But I sold it that way. I was like, man, this thing's, you know,
is what it is.
Bulletproofed. You know, I haven't had any problems with it, but
you give him like a couple grand discount or something, because he's just a hardworking kid, really wanted a truck. Yeah. You know, and you over there, somebody's like, this idiot kid.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm going to sell him a truck that's about to blow to shit.
Right.
You know,
but if I put it in four-wheel drive, it would have.
Yeah. But
you still had a lot of fun in that thing, though.
100%.
You got your money's worth eventually.
100%.
A few pennies dropped in. You got to your goal?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It all started, man. That truck started.
And that's where the addiction for trucks came in. He's like, oh, this is like a fishing bait. It's a lure.
Exactly.
Nice and shiny, and it's big. You know, I'm going to go ahead and build these even bigger, shinier, cooler.
Exactly. And it's led to, I've owned over 150 trucks personally now since then.
Yeah.
Over the years. So it's been a wild ride. And always flipping them too, man. Making money on them. And
yeah. So, I mean, 22 years in business doesn't come without a lot of struggle, without 100%. A lot of pain, without a lot of hurt, you know? Like, so how many times in business over 22 years did you feel like that you were at the brink, like almost ready to quit and give up, or the business almost had to fold? Like, how many hurdles did you have to overcome mentally, emotionally, maybe even financially, to keep a business in business for a 22-year period? Because that's a long time, and there's a lot of things happening external in the world, personally, and some things that you can't necessarily control, right? So I can't imagine that it was just 22 years of awesomeness and everything's a breeze, you're cashing checks, no problems at all, right? So let's talk about... You know, how many times you've doubted yourself, how many times you wanted to quit and give up and continued to push forward.
You know, I have a quick little story I'd like to share. So I was in a small rental shop. This is probably my biggest hurdle I ever overcame. I was in a small rental shop, industrial bays, and someone approached me with a shop he shut down on a secondary thoroughfare. And he goes, hey, what are you going to do? Do you want to move into my old shop? I said, sure. So he built me a lease, looked it over. Man, the rent was cheap. It was like $800 a month. I did my due diligence, what I thought was due diligence in 2007, being still a newer businessman.
Yeah.
And everything was cool for like 3 months. You know, I was paying my rent to this individual. And shop was on, and I had a billboard and all kinds of cool stuff. You know, I actually had some street cars.
You thought you were the real deal at
right,
that point.
100%.
Like, now I'm starting to make moves.
100%.
Right? Feeling good about yourself.
An elderly gentleman came in one day and asked where this individual was. I said, you know, I don't know, but howdy. I'm Justin, man.
Yeah.
You know, what can I help you with? He goes, no, where is, and I'm just going to leave his name off the podcast. But, just be respectful to him. And he goes, I own this fucking property and it sold. And you have 30 days to get off of here. Mm. Mind you, I had automotive lifts
installed
trucks tore apart, had 30 days. And dude, we were backlogged for like 3 or 4 weeks. And it was a bad, bad situation, man. It was horrible.
So what happened in that situation? How did you get out of it? Did the guy, he was harsh on his deadline, or did he work with you a little bit?
He worked with me a little bit, but they did have a closing on the land. And so the guy that I was renting from came in, and it was like a little a building in front of a metal building, and the metal building had all the automotive lifts and everything in it. And that building was owned by him, the guy that I was dealing with, quote unquote. So he went and came in. This gets even wilder, bro. He came and tore the metal building down around my vehicles within that 30 days.
Wow.
And so I literally had electrical friends come over and set up power to shine lights so that I could finish these trucks at night. I shit you not, man. I had deadlines, bro.
Dude, he disassembled the building.
And so he tore the building down around me. And man,
so you've got trucks just sitting out in the open.
Pad on this other dude's land.
Yes. On a lift out in the open that you're sitting there working on to try to meet the deadline that the customer, you told the customer.
Exactly.
That you rent one of them like party tents?
No, I could have, man, but it wasn't no party, that's for sure. You know, but you know, I was still doing this all hands on.
Yeah.
So, you know, this was still me. I was still doing the sales up front, still doing the technical in the back.
Yeah.
You know, the business was just coasting. It wasn't growing. Yeah. You know,
that's because you didn't have enough support. Yeah, you're only one person, right? You can only pump out so many vehicles. So, but until you multiply yourself, then.
And then, a mentor or a good friend told me, he goes, "You'll never be able to grow that business if you don't get off your tools, bro." And that stuck with me.
Yeah.
That I had to get off my tools. And I want perfection in a vehicle. And so I have to instill that in other people. And it was hard for me to let that go.
Well, you just have the mentality that nobody's going to care the way that I care about these vehicles. It's my name on it. This is 100%. Somebody that I know personally that hired me to produce this end result. And I don't think anybody's better than me, so I want to do it. And then it just makes it difficult for you to give up your name to somebody else to fulfill something that you promised, right?
100%. And, you know, man, I treat everybody exactly like we need to be treated. You know, like I want to be treated. And man, these people spend 5, 10, 15, 20 grand on these trucks with us. And man, everything is going to be perfect.
Yeah.
And I will stay behind my word, whatever it takes.
Even if you have to be out in the night,
out in the night,
lights shining with no building anymore around you.
Right. So we were able to finish it off the building and take it all down and not finish off the trucks. So I moved into where I originally started, which is kind of ironic. And it was on an industrial bay and I just was able to branch off of that. But here's where it gets even more ironic, and I know I showed you that groundbreaking video. Yeah. We'll put a link on that
bottom.
That's a cool video. And my new shop is Caddy Corner from where that shop was.
Oh, wow.
Is it Caddy Corner or is it Kitty?
It's Caddy Corner.
Is it? Have I been fucking saying it this wrong
that's
this whole time?
That's a hey,
I've been saying Kitty thing. Corner this whole, like, Kitty my corn? Entire life. I was this I day years old too. For saying Kitty
they
Corner.
They say Kitty Corner here in Utah.
It must be a Texas thing. Yeah. We need to Google this
a
now.
Caddy Corner.
Caddy Corner. Or is it Cadillacs? I don't know.
Dude, I don't know.
We got to get to the bottom of this.
We need you to Google
what
that.
What does either one mean?
You can't Google
what
that.
What does either one mean? Kitty Corner.
It just means sideways. Is that a name?
Yeah.
Well, I know, but like why corner, did they come up with the word kitty for that or caddy?
Who knows, man?
We got to know.
But no, I can sit
we'll
out
get to the bottom of it.
Yeah, we do. That's important.
You know, I know this whole different side topic, but
yeah.
You know, there's some listeners that probably know the actual.
So you get to go back memory lane all the time, man.
Yeah, I can walk my front door, my shop, which I showed you. Is
facing.
It's facing.
I'm sure you don't think about every day, but I'm sure you do have those reminiscing moments.
And I thank God every morning, you know, for that. And I'm very grateful.
100%. Yeah, it's a beautiful reminder.
That building is still sitting there. Yeah. Even though it's a daycare now and it's got wood frame and stuff, you know, talk about Kitty. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, now Kitty Corner. It is Kitty Corner.
I mean, it could be.
The caddy shit. Yeah. You know? Yeah,
there's no Cadillacs over there, bro.
Yeah, if it's a Cadillac dealership, then it's Caddy Corner. Yeah, there you go. You know, so that's awesome, man.
That was probably my biggest hurdle, and that was 2007.
Right.
You know, 2008. And then, of course, the turn down of the housing. And but we're still busy, man. You know, I mean, we made it through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
well, how many times have you questioned just shut shop and tuck tail and run, and you know, because of some of the hurdles that, I mean, let's be real. If business just came to us and sat in our lap, we can all do the business, but there's so many different aspects where it does get slow. The money starts slowing down, but if it was consistent, everybody would be able to be successful. There's in 22 years, there's got to be times where you're just like pinching pennies and struggling and maybe trying to get loans. I don't know. Maybe you handled your finances very, very well to where you were able to carry through some of those storms, but you've had to be through 2, 3, 4 storms over a 22-year period. And how do you mentally survive and financially survive those storms?
So I'll be honest with you, man. There wasn't another option. Yeah. I wasn't willing to give up.
Right.
I built this name, this reputation, and whether it was regardless of all the haters or whatever, because you know, there was a lot of off-road truck accessory shops that came and went in my time period.
Yeah.
And I never saw it as another option because it's all I ever knew coming out of college.
I would say that's why you have the reputation you have, right? Because you're all in the whole time, right?
Like 10%.
I'm going to be honest. I've had lingering thoughts when I first started my business. Like, maybe I'm not cut out for this. Maybe I should try and get a different sales job. Like, I just went from 150 grand a year to $500 a week, and I got a family to feed. So that fear sets in, right? But it's like you're so committed to the end result. You're so committed to backing what you say you're going to do. You already had clients. You had to build these badass trucks for them. You know, it's like when you're all in, and you're all in on providing quality, that's obviously what gets you the reputation that you have. You know what I mean?
Yep. Then you're willing to endure whatever you need to endure to survive.
Right.
Right? You hunker down and weather the storm rather than trying to run from it. Right? And that's the mentality that it seems like that you have.
So my next hurdle, talk about hurdles.
Oh, yeah.
I had a huge one. It happened right about, let's see, Arete. When was Arete St. Louis? October 19?
Was that 18 or 19?
That was 19.
We went to the live.
Live. Yeah, it was October 19.
Okay.
Yeah. So 6 months before that, I built a badass Duramax dually.
Yeah.
I'm talking the dude dumped $28,000 aftermarket stuff into this dually. Yeah. Unbelievable truck. Looked beautiful. 24-inch wheels, 37-inch tires, deleted, tuned, all that good fun stuff. And it had a vibration at it at 68 miles an hour that was not consistent. It would come and go. I'm talking it could go for days.
Yeah.
Or it would stay there, or not be there, period. Yeah. And it would all of a sudden come and go. And we stripped that truck down 10 times, bud. Stripped the whole suspension down, rebounced tires, put new tires, new wheels. I mean, we just went through it all. Still cannot fix it. I moved it from Victoria, Texas to Houston to San Antonio. No transmission shop could figure it out. No one could figure this whole damn truck out. Customer's cool. He didn't pay us in full yet. I ended up spending $5,000 and putting gears in it. Which changed the ratios again, back to the original story of gear ratios. And it brought the RPM up. The truck liked it better. Ran smoother. But I turned the truck into the customer and I said, hey, just drive it for a couple weeks. Tell me what you think, man.
Yeah.
And he called me back and says, the vibration is still there, but it's now at 73 miles an hour instead of 68 miles an hour. I said, what?
Keep it under 73 then, dude.
But, no, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm kidding. But me, man, this ate me alive, man. This is probably my hardest struggle.
Yeah.
And it ate me alive, man. I started eating like shit. I started breaking out from stress. And it wasn't right. And I could not fix it. Yeah. And I could not let it go.
It just irked you to
it,
the core.
It irked me. And it physically, it was so deep ingrained in me, man. I could not let that situation go.
Right.
Put on some weight and kept eating like shit. And then, you know, I found out about Andy Frisella. And my buddy invited me to join him at Arete. And he goes, dude, when do you start 75 hard? And I was like, dude, I'm in a mental state where this truck is still in the back of my head, even though I had to let it go. Yeah. Never talk to the customer again. I just let it go and let that bill of $13,000 ride on my account. Like he owed me, but.
Yeah, you didn't feel right billing him out full amount.
100%.
If there was just that little glitch.
Right.
And it's not like he's going to be going 73 miles an hour everywhere he goes.
But so it's still embarrassing.
Yeah.
We weren't able to do it right.
No, but what I'm saying is it's not like it was constant. Every single day, because he's probably not going those speeds, maybe every single day, but you still did right by him to make sure that you're not billing him full amount for something that you don't feel good about, right? So, and I'll tell you this much, 99.999999% of shops would have billed out that other $13,000.
100%.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. You know.
And so that mentally screwed me. And then when I got back after seeing Andy speak, was absolute fire in my face, man.
Yeah.
You know, Jesse Edsler was there. Andy spoke. Ed spoke. Millett. And Jed goes,
who's that?
Who's Ed Millett?
Nah, I just can't.
And so Jed goes, hey, when you start 75 hard? Yeah. I was like, he goes like, not tomorrow, bro. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, I'll start it, but let me figure out my meal plan and shit. Yeah. I finished 75 hard. It took me 9 times. I failed on day 65, my first round.
Yeah. Fuck that.
For the picture.
That'd be painful.
Oh, it was for the picture.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until after COVID and everything. It took me 9 times over a year and a half, but I finally finished that bitch this past April. So, nice, yeah.
Good for you.
But no, I'm in a much better mental state after that.
Yeah.
That helped me build just confidence and just letting things go, working out every day, twice a day. Yeah. You know, that saved me, man. I'll be honest with you, man.
Right. Well, it's hard to be stressed when you're exerting yourself the way that you are multiple times a day. So if there's something built up, it's going to get released within one of those two workouts that you do. You know, like a lot of people say, if you want a state change, go for a walk. you know, we've even done a presentation for a master's class, and we talk about burnout, and we show a diagram of the brain that's under stress, and then 10 minutes later after a walk, and it's completely different. So literally walking can just change your state, and you're talking about being stressed out, and the, maybe sitting at home eating, you know, and thinking about this one thing that you couldn't control, because it sounds like you exhausted all the options you could, shipping it around to anybody and everybody that would look at it to see if you could address it. But at the end of the day, you had this built-up frustration, you had this built-up, you know, whatever it was about that situation that you couldn't fix. And so you get out there, you work, you work your frustrations out. I don't think people utilize exercise enough people that are in stressful situations. Yep. Mm-hmm. Like I know for a fact, you know, if it wasn't for exercising, move my body, I'd probably have, would have lost my mind, you know, 6 years ago, 7 years
and
ago.
And so, you know, it's crazy. You talk about this walking and mind clarity.
Yeah.
My first round of 75 hard. I live on the river in South Texas, and I had a river house, and I said, dude, why am I going to like have parties at this house? And I was like, man, why should I invite all these people and like damage this house? I said, why not try to figure out how to make money? And that's when the Airbnb short-term rental thing popped in my head at the end of my 75 hard in 2019. And man, I moved forward with it. And now I'm branching into short-term rentals and Airbnb all because of 75 hard, dude. It helped get me my mind focus, clarity. You know, it got my, helped me get my business 100% better with the off-road. And then now branching out and doing other things. And
beautiful thing, man. When you care about quality that much that it's literally making you ill, you know, as shitty as it is what you went through, like, get the positive of that, bro. Like, you care so much that when you did find your way through that, it's like, now your business at a new level. Now you're investing. Now you're, like, getting your baby that's been feeding you all these years to now feed these investments, which is going to feed your legacy now, too, right? And it's like, dude, it's so powerful, man. But it's rare. And honestly, I think people need to know that. Like, you have to care at that level to really build something great.
100%.
You know, like, we've been going through shit with our company lately. We're trying to make our systems, our processes, our leadership team so much better for our clients because we care so much that it's honestly caused some issues. But every single person in here cares so much. They're like pulling me in. Dude, I'm losing sleep last night. I got up at midnight and I had an email that was like someone got slipped through the cracks. And they're just like, they're stressed out about it too. But we've built a team around us that cares so much because we care so much. Right. And that's what you've done too with your 100%. Business, bro. And that's like,
and every one of my employees care, just like yours. Yeah. It's an addiction.
Yeah, you know? Dude. When you can build a team around you, you can't build a team around you that cares so much if you don't care so much, you know, and as unhealthy as it sounds, if it cares so much, it makes you sick. It's there's a lot of positive in that as well.
Well, my takeaway from it was, thank God that vibration was happening.
Yeah, that's the way I look at it too. Yeah.
That irked you, you know what I mean? And again, we've talked about this previous on podcasts and stuff. Like, people don't understand whatever that little thing is, that little irk or that little struggle or whatever they're going through that's causing them to maybe feel stressed or ill or irk them. All that's trying to do is probably lead you somewhere else. You maybe just don't know where it's at, where it's going to lead you yet, right?
Right.
The end answer doesn't show itself while you're going through the problem, but you had that issue, you were stressed, you were irked, you go over here to this Arate thing, then you get challenged to say, you know, it seems like after that situation, there was a slow domino effect of even coming out better.
It gets better. You ready for this? I met Monica, Mother Trucker, at a round table at Arate, at a lunch table. We stayed connected, and then I also met up with her at MDM.
Yeah.
And then she says, you need to join Apex.
Yeah.
And then look what happened. Dude, we're here.
Yeah.
And then now we're in our conference room.
I mean, and I joined Apex, in May?
Yeah.
You know, six months later?
Yeah. We were in Cabo together.
Exactly. You know? Which was a badass time.
You know, here's the thing. You hear a lot of times, like, these groups, man, like, and they're powerful. I'm not discrediting them at all. But you hear people like, man, that group changed my life. Nah, dude.
It did.
Freaking experience of your vibration and making you sick finally got to a point where you were open to actually being a part of a group like that. And then you did the fucking work. Right? 100%. And it's like, those groups are powerful and everybody should utilize them because they do. They expand our network. Like, we're here today.
Right.
You know, and it's so powerful.
And what I like about Justin is like, he don't fuck around when he buys into something.
Exactly.
Right? Like that. And I was saying that on the way home. It's like, dude, you seem like, you're just open and coachable. Tell me what to do and how to. I'm Like, here's my ego. Let's put it off to the side. I want to get better. I want to grow. I want self-improvement, business improvement. What's the next level? What's the legacy? You know, you're thinking different and thinking bigger, but you don't have this big ego with it. You're just like, tell me what to do and I'll do 75 hard. Then you continued to do it till you were successful.
And now the G code, right? Now the G code is being brought in from Ryan,
yep,
and everyone else. And, you know, fixing to start kicking that off. Mm-hmm. And everything we're learning from that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, it's just going to be a continuation. I'm open and willing yeah, to listen to anything. And, dude, my future.
Isn't that crazy, though? Because, like, you get in these groups, though, bro, and it's like, first of all, you're the one changing your life by being there, right? And
you had to make the decision to invest.
And get to the point where you're open up. And that's what's so powerful about these dark times, right? About these redirection moments. Mm-hmm. But you get in there, you start kicking ass, and you start meeting people, 7, 8, 9-figure business owners. They're all humble because they're all going through that shit. They're all there for the same reason. Most of the time, every once in a while, there's some douchebag that's like, you know, he's in there for the wrong reasons, and they usually don't last.
No. Yeah, they're a couple months and gone. You know, 6 months gone. You know, with anything good comes there is going to be a bad apple.
But you know, that's what forced me to get this, dude.
Yeah.
It's fuck your excuses, Tet. Mm-hmm. You know, like, so every morning.
But then again, like I just said, you're the type of guy that just buys all in.
Yeah.
Right. And you bought all into your business initially 22 years ago, and you're like, dude, there was no other option.
There is no other
option. Because you were bought all the way in. You know, when you see something that you know that you like and something that benefits you, you don't half-ass it.
100%.
Right? Like you've got fuck your excuses tattooed on your arm.
But you know what I got at the bottom though, right?
Oh, I actually want to know what that is.
Yeah, what is
y'all, it? Y'all pass physics, guys?
Fuck. Nah. No, dude.
Come on, man.
Bro,
this guy's got an engineer's brain, bro.
I know. You can tinker with shit, bro. I
could tear it apart and put it right back together in my sleep.
I can tear shit apart.
You just can't.
And it stops that. It stops that.
That's us, dude.
But if I tore it apart, somebody probably won't be able to put it back together because there'd be shit ripped in half and hammered, you know.
Broken gears. Oh, yeah. Sprockets.
That ain't my jam,
homie. Chains. Right.
So, yeah. So, this little symbol here is a physics symbol, and be greater than average.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
So fuck your excuses. Be greater than average.
Okay. I
like it.
Because now it comes full circle and makes complete sense.
Yeah.
I just thought you were a physics major.
No.
I thought you were the next Einstein or something. You know? That I thought that was the equation for fuck your excuses.
No.
But pretty close.
Yeah. Be greater than average. Because none of us are average.
Yeah.
I don't want to be average. Average is boring, man.
Yeah.
Well, you know?
There's enough of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's crowded.
Right.
Fucking really.
And so then that's why this lighthouse tat came into play, man.
Yeah.
For all the shit that's been fucked up in my life and that's happened to me, I want to be that shining light that lighthouse emits no matter what's thrown at it. Hmm. You know, whether you got a hurricane, winds, waves, you know, destroying the sand, the sediments, that light is still shining bright to those sailors and giving them guidance. Hmm. And I want to be that guidance of a person that I can come from nothing. I come from nothing. And that I can build my empires and be humble as can be and still be that shining light to what everyone else is going through. You know?
Your childhood, you got, you know, it was just.
It was normal.
Scraping by pretty much.
No, it was just normal, man. It was middle. Yeah, it was middle of the road. We weren't starving.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have any crazy stories from childhood. We were just a normal.
Normal family.
Normal family.
Yeah.
Wanted us the best for us. Wanted us to go to college.
Didn't have help though, exiting in terms of starting your business. Like, so you literally just worked in your parents' shop for a little bit, saved some money, and then you started like, okay, I'm going to sign this $800 a month lease or whatever.
Right? No, it was all on my own. Yeah. You know, my parents wanted me to go to college, which any good parent wants your son to.
Right.
And so I actually took electrical engineering for 2 years to follow my dad's footsteps at the chemical plant.
Makes sense,
bro. Dude, and I could do it. Yeah, there you go. I did the work, but I absolutely hated it.
Yeah.
With a passion. I was like, this is fucking boring.
So good that you did it for as long as you did, though.
Right,
100%. Like you got something from it.
And then, so I switched over, and I completed college for my parents' benefit. And, you know, to make them happy, quote unquote.
Yeah,
that happens a lot.
It took me six years to get a 2-year associate's degree in business management.
That would have been me.
I'd still be going, bro.
And, you know, I did some odd jobs. I was a substitute teacher taught, and, you know, I did some weird stuff through college making ends meet, but I was still building trucks in the garage.
Yeah.
You know, and then after that, dude, I was like, dude, it's game on now.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to make this work. Cool. You know,
talk about your lifestyle the first maybe 2 or 3 years that you came into entrepreneurship and started your business. Were you, you know, raking it in pretty fat? Like, did you just have a good big name, like, after a few months out of the parents' garage or first year or two out of there, and then all of a sudden, like, how has the growth been in terms of, you know, year one, year two versus year 10, 15, and 20, right?
Right. So, you know, year one and two and three at a parents' garage is pretty steady, but it gave me enough opportunity to want to get that industrial building and pay some rent.
You started visioning something a little bigger, like, oh, shit, this isn't just, like, odd and end size.
This isn't a hobby.
Like, I can turn this into an everyday thing.
Right. And so, you know, one screw-up I did, I blew in too much money on my vehicles, man, because I had to have the biggest, baddest ride.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm going to be selling these, so I bought a 2000 Excursion. This was in 2003. Dude, I had 20 inches of lift and 44-inch Super Swampers on it.
Yeah.
It was all white. It was a bad mamma jamma.
Lost up.
You know, but it was just, I was putting all my money into those vehicles.
Yeah.
And I wasn't.
That was holding. Your advertising almost, pretty
it,
much.
It
like,
was.
Hey, look at me. Like, right. we're a talking piece. Somebody comes up to you, you're like, dude, this right. thing's a monster. Oh, well, that's what I do.
Exactly. Yeah. So I never had enough money in the bank to look at putting land down payment down on building and everything else until a customer came to mine and he wanted to bankroll me. It says, dude, I have a vision for you if you want to follow through, and let's sit you down and look at your numbers. And so I've had guidance throughout, you know, when it's come necessary, from me getting off my tools to me helping me build that building 5 years ago, you know, and I thank God for those guys every day because they saw something in me that they wanted to pass on, you know, through their entrepreneurships of their businesses.
Another huge benefit of being somebody that really is kind of all in and obsessed with the quality of what they put out, bro, is like that attracts a certain type of person as well. Like we've talked about this in our other podcasts where, you know, people come up with these great ideas and that's great. Everyone has great ideas, but it's like, well, I need an investor now. It's like, nobody wants to invest in you when they don't see you actually investing into you.
Doing the work.
Like you're not doing the work. You're not putting badass quality workout out. You're not going all in, putting all your savings into building your baby. You know, that's when those type of opportunities come along, right? Is when you're like, dude, you're putting out this quality work. You're just like into your thing, right? And it matters to you. You care. And then someone sees something in you.
Right.
Right? Yeah. But sometimes that's all someone needs that wants to take their business to next level. And to go out and get investor money is like, you know, they don't know where to go. And it's like, well, you just haven't done anything yet to attract anybody that would actually want to invest in you.
Yeah, 100%. People want to help people who help themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, on that side note, I've made both of these guys' trucks ride better than stock. My motto is, at my shop, is we're going to make a lifted truck ride better than stock.
Yeah.
And it can happen if the right procedures and parts are used.
Stuman said it.
Yeah.
He made a post about it.
Bro.
Yeah.
You know, saying,
that's why I sold my 15 Dirt Max. Right. I went and got a little lift on it. I don't have like a giant lift. It was just like.
But somebody just priced through it together. It's a reputable shop. I'll give you, I mean, this prime example, this Turo Jeep I just rented for the weekend for Inside Investors. Dude. The guy probably spent 10 grand on the Jeep, but in my opinion, it drives like shit. It rides like shit. You know, somebody just threw it together and doesn't really care.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Do you think you overanalyze it a little bit, though?
No,
I don't. You're like in that and you're just like,
I'm going to see.
Oh, dude, we had a blast in it.
Yeah.
We'll post all those pictures up and tag some of them, man. We got stuck in the mountains in Utah in the snow.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
You've never been jeeping in the snow.
No, I haven't. First time for everything.
Yeah, I was going to say, now you have.
Now I haven't. I got pictures to prove it, too. Yeah,
exactly.
You know.
So let me ask you this. Are you just like, you know, all up on coaching and mentoring and groups and. Like once you saw the power of, let's say, Arete, that's why you got interested in Apex and therefore you got interested in the Insider Investors Club, you know, where we were this last weekend together. Like, because now it seems kind of like a theme of yours. Let's get around awesome people. Let's continue personal growth. Let's continue to network to see where this takes me.
110%. Right? But also, too, I'm also observing everything because I want to empower other shop owners in my industry.
So you're over there just trying to be a sponge in every aspect to where you can impact people that have the same background as you that haven't been exposed to this type of information.
You know, because in my opinion, I feel that 95% of all truck shops, we're going to call them truck accessories, off-road shops, they're all technician owned. At one point, they were a technician.
They were hands-on.
Hands-on. Then they just said, hey, I can make money at this.
Not a business owner.
Not a business owner. Yeah. And so I got my business evaluated 3 years ago. And I was like, what's this thing worth?
They're what? Like $3.99, or we'll trade you straight across for a Happy Meal. It's up to you.
And so then, you know, that coach took me on under his wing and says, dude, you have to do this, this, this. And lo and behold, man, I'm debt free now. Like, it's wild how that works.
Yeah.
When you create a plan and you follow it.
Imagine that.
Wow.
You know?
It's incredible.
But also getting some outside, you know, perspective sometimes too, you know?
And like I said, seeking that advice from that individual to do that, you know, and learning from that. So my goal now is I want to teach and coach other off-road shops and to make their businesses as successful as possible. To kind of follow my footsteps about off-road, what I've done for 22 years, where my fuck-ups have been, what I've learned, especially in the past 3 years, and now coming all into these other groups, you know.
You're being exposed to a lot. And at the end of the day, you paid X amount of money over here for this group, X amount of money for this group, X amount of money for this group. And now you have access to the information in three different groups all stored in your dome piece that you can now share with those individuals without them having to make as big of a commitment and travel as much as you've traveled and taken the time to learn the information that you've learned inside those groups. And so you can collapse what took you 22 years to build into now probably taking a shop owner from maybe zero to hero in 1 to 2 years by getting rid of all the mistakes that you had to go through, right?
Yep.
And how valuable would that be? You can't really even put a price tag on something like that, expediting the process, because I bet you've made mistakes that cost you 10 grand, 20 grand, 30 grand, or whatever it is, right?
Right.
And that's just one mistake. What's the most expensive truck you ever built? Like a badass. Like,
so we built a SEMA truck. Okay. It was for a good friend of mine. And that truck, we probably spent 100 and 125 into it. Thousand,
yeah, on top of the truck.
On top of the truck, you know, it is a 2001 Power Stroke, but we put a 2010 front clip on it, so it looks like a 2010 driving down the road. Custom paint job. So cool little story about SEMA, because SEMA's coming around the corner. Yeah. I want to be there next week in Vegas.
Yeah,
so it's a specialty equipment aftermarket association trucks, any automotive related. Period. Yeah. Trucks, cars, hot rods, whatever. So they bring in about 10,000 vehicles up there,
right?
All customized, and so we got stuck. This is back in 2011, so this is 10 years ago this truck was built, and it still looks new to this day. It sits in front of our shop every day. Clayton's generous enough to let us do that.
Let us use it for advertising.
Exactly. It's better than sitting in his stall.
Well, I already know. It's kitty corner from the daycare.
Yeah, exactly. And we were pulling it in SEMA, and it got stuck. His power steering pump blew out.
Oh, shit.
And it literally got stuck in front of Ford Hall. This is so ironic, like in front of the front door of SEMA.
Yeah.
But it's posted up. It's sitting at an angle. You saw that on the video, that truck sitting on this ramp. So it sits on a 36-inch tall ramp, a Ford Super Duty, that much wheel travel. We had to leave it there because we couldn't fix it. And the SEMA guys were pissed, you know, that we had that thing had to sit there. So dude, it got all the exposure that year. It was wild, man.
I love this truck. Start it up. Let's see it move.
Yeah. I can't. No. So they had to build their show facility around it a little bit. It was pretty wild, man.
You were the showpiece.
I was the show. Well, it was Clayton's truck, but exactly. And people were freaking out, like, what year is that truck? The one-up off-road suspension underneath it, you know, the Toyo tires and everything else, dude.
Even negative situations turn out positive sometimes, you know. Positive, it's just up to you to make that happen.
Exactly. Right? Or in the way you view it.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. Exactly. So up to the point of finding coaches and mentors, you were just winging it.
100%, man. Just winging it.
Just whatever came in the fucking door.
I never even read a book, bro, until 75 Hard.
Yeah.
Seriously.
No, dude, we flat out admitted on the podcast, like, we weren't big book readers, dude. Like, I read one book in ninth grade called Avalanche, and I can't even locate it anymore because I wanted to show people, like, this is the book. This will actually, this is a page turner. Because I attempted to read, but nothing ever caught my interest except for one book.
Right.
Did you guys read The Outsiders in high school, though, with your class? I think, like, everyone read The Outsiders, right?
Is that the one where they, do, like, dance and do knife fights?
The Greases and the Socias, right? It was, like, basically the preppies versus, like, the rebels.
I just saw videos or something.
There was, like,
I've had reading it while I wasn't into it.
I read The Great Gatsby. You remember that one?
I didn't read that one.
Mr. Bo Radley. What book is that? The Great... Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah,
thank you,
they
ma'am.
Read all those as a class.
Why the hell would you kill a mockingbird?
By the time we were reading those, we were ditching the school, though. So,
but no, we just barely started reading, like, literally within the last couple years in terms of, like, trying to be intentional about it. But at the same time.
I was pretty intentional through therapy, and then I took a long break, and then I was like, I got to go back into that growth mode.
Yeah, well, sometimes when you're going through shit, you're maybe a little bit more willing to do the things that you weren't willing to do prior because you don't feel like anything's missing when you're young or a kid or, you know, whatever it is.
People always take action when their back's against the wall, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. And then now, so after reading these books, I want to write my own book, man. I want to tell my own story.
Yeah.
You know, it's
comes full circle.
100%. And yeah, I want to coach. I want to teach everyone else my mistakes I made.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about it up there, man. I think it's cool the road you're going down, and your space needs it, right?
Yeah. Like, I feel like, so. Dude, I didn't feel there's anybody in
your space.
Right.
Yeah. You need because one, you have a great energy about you, but two, like, bro, you really do know your shit, and you've put out such great quality, and your operation that you built is like, what is the word? An testament to that.
A testament.
A testament.
Testament.
It really is. Like when we talk about your operation, your showroom, the people running your, you don't got to be there to put out quality work anymore. Right. But people like don't know how to build businesses that way. Cause like you said, they're just technicians. And then it's like, they're stuck in the business and they can never get anyone to come in and do the quality they do because they can't take the time. But you've done that. So you need to be in the space, like really showing people, become that influencer of that space.
And teach those guys, you know, how to shrink it down from 80 hours a week to 40 hours a week where they can enjoy their families. Because the whole reason they got into entrepreneurship was to get away from the 9-to-5.
Exactly.
You know, but the shop owners are spending more time away from their families and working stupid hours.
Right.
70, 80 hours a week.
40 to 80.
Yeah. So where's the benefit in that?
But
where's the freedom?
One, you're relatable. You know, they're going to be able to relate to you and all the experiences that you have. Secondly, you know, it's not like you lack passion for it. Like even when you just talk about, it just kind of comes out, right? It's an industry that you love and that you care about. Maybe you don't want to be underneath the vehicle for the rest of your life, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you don't want to be connected to the industry and the type of good people that are in the industry that you've come to know and like, right?
So I just bought a 21 Ford Raptor.
Yeah.
And Ford changed the suspension. It's called Generation 3. Ford added rear coil springs to this thing. I was the first one to jump these things.
Yeah.
And
right after it landed, it did fine. But I had those pictures up going all over Instagram, all over the internet, man. I caught 3 foot of air in this brand new truck. Right after our Flying Friday, guys. I drove down to Austin and I hit the dirt track.
So you spent six figures on a truck?
That truck as we were leaving too. He went down and jumped that shit.
Yeah, I went and jumped that sucker, man. I'll make it a point.
Photo. He was all excited too. He's like, I just got this new truck, right? Plus we jumped it.
But Thomas and I got a little TRX battle going on. You know, there's a lot of
between the Raptor and the TRX. Right.
They were parked literally
all up in each other. You know, but yeah, so I want to try the suspension out. Ford made that truck for a reason. They built it up. It is an off-road vehicle, and I went and used that damn thing. And
you were the test dummy to confirm that they built it right.
100%.
And it works.
Yeah, I drove it home. I drove it 2.5 hours home from there, you know, with no problems. The truck didn't break.
No speed wobbles or
nothing, man. Yeah. Absolutely nothing. 37-inch tires, you know, caught 3 foot of air, landed. Yeah, squished the tires up in the fenders. Might have had a little fender rubbish from squishing.
Well,
You know, but hey, it landed, and looking forward to getting some more video footage of this thing moving on. And you know, I want to be involved in the industry and
make an impact.
Exactly.
What if it didn't handle it, dude? What would you have done? Just rent a car and go home?
I would have got a wrecker and just got it back to the shop and fixed it.
Yeah.
Like whatever Ford messed up, but Ford didn't mess anything up on that truck, bro.
Dude, I've been hearing Ford's stuff's been just getting better and better this whole last decade. Like, I mean, you know, there's this weird Chevy Ford battle all these years, right? I grew up a Chevy family. Like my dad and his friends were all Chevy dudes and Fords were pieces of crap, right? And it's vice versa on the other side. But
I was vice versa. It was Ford.
I was always buying Duramaxes and shit because I was good, programmed to be a Chevy guy. And they were phenomenal. But it's like the stuff that I see them putting out this year, I'm not loyal to none of them now.
Right.
Like, dude, if it's quality, it's freaking badass and it looks great.
I do feel that GM is lacking though, man. So I feel like Ram has the interior going, which is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Ford has the truck built, the suspension.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're catching up with the interior, but GM is just...
They were like known for their tranny there, that Allison transmission.
Yeah, the Allison was badass, you know. Yeah.
But that's that was
their interiors in those new trucks, man, are nothing. But this new Raptor, 13 inch.
Talking shit on my GMC parked out front, that big black truck.
That government bailout money they used to build that?
Well, it was my stimulus money. I blew it on the Denali, dude. You know, I'm waiting for more because there's a payment due on that motherfucker coming up. So, hopefully
but you know, Ford never took a bailout. You know, back in the day, GM took all the money. Ford never took a bailout on that thing, man.
I didn't know that. I thought they did.
Not to my knowledge. I might be wrong. I'm not saying I'm never right. You know,
There could have been some backdoor bailouts. Who knows?
Yeah. It wasn't public.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And now it's a huge problem with the computer chips. All these new manufacturers can't. I know. And the prices are just going through the roof. We're having to pay over a sticker for these trucks, which is insane.
Ridiculous. I bought a Tesla. Just to flip it.
Yeah.
Really? Well, I bought it because, dude, it's I wrote my book, right?
Yeah.
Talking about writing books. I literally bought a Tesla just to have self-driving so I could write my book when I go to Salt Lake or Vegas or some shit on the highway. Legit.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because I wrote my book on my phone.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm doing the editing on my desktop, though, because it didn't work for editing.
It's a little awkward driving in.
I'm like, damn, I have a regular keyboard. But anyway, but now the Tesla was so backed up. It's been a year since I ordered it. I finally just got notification last night. They're like, hey, it's in production finally.
So you know they're being built.
So I'm just going to flip it, bro.
I don't blame you.
They're like, because I'm locked in at like 115 Gs. I'm going to go put it up for 140 or 50.
There you go. Yeah. I'd do it too. Yeah. Supposedly I can take this Raptor and turn and burn too and make 10 or 15 on it. Guaranteed. They're just not out there.
Are you guys running into shortages and issues in terms of parts and stuff?
Yes, we're having to adapt. Too? You know, I have a specific brands that I want to use.
Yeah.
Whether it's Bilstein shocks, BDS suspensions, Toyo tires, it's production all across the board, man.
Yeah.
So we're having to adapt and swing. But you know what's crazy? Our numbers are still up 20% after COVID.
Really?
Even though we're having to adapt and we're having supply chain issues.
Yeah.
So can you imagine if we could actually get the parts, what we could do?
Oh, dude. Yeah.
It'd be
crazy.
Be insane. We'd be at 30, 40, 50%.
So what do you mean adapt? Meaning you just go outside of what your normal orders would be?
Maybe switch brands.
Hey, yeah, yeah.
Maybe switch brands, but like use this other brand, but still try to find a Bilstein shock to fit it.
Right.
Gotcha.
You know, to it fits my ride quality specs.
But does that make it harder for you that now you're just scoping everything out? Like, dude, can you really get this to me in the time frame that you say, because I'm trying to get the truck out by this time? Like,
so when that customer comes in, we got like 10 screens open up from all our distributors. Dude, if it's not available, I'll tell you, hey, it's not available. Yeah. If it is, do you want that now? Let's order that now. Boom, boom, boom. So I don't ever sell something on the pretense that I'm getting it coming in.
Have you had to turn customers away because of things that you can't get in yet?
Not necessarily. We've just had to change a lot of orders.
Gotcha.
And change their whole package of what they're wanting to do, unless they want to wait. You know, sometimes the waiting
time. They're dead set on a certain brand.
Right. You know, whether it takes, we do get, certain wheels, certain lift kits are saying 16 weeks. Yeah. If that customer's willing to wait 16 weeks, we'll wait.
Do, bro. My wife wanted a new couch. We waited 12 weeks just for a new couch.
Wow.
What else? I mean,
what else are you going to do?
Yeah. What is he going to do?
I still got fucking pants that I ordered 2 months ago that's still on the way.
Yeah.
And it's bothering me.
Shit's in a container, bro.
Right. Yeah. It's on that, party ship. Cruise out there on the coast of California.
Yeah, exactly.
Fucking one of them. You know, they keep sending me messages though, like emails, stuck in customs or it's da 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 da.
That's crazy.
Like literally 4 weeks after I ordered it, that like it was supposed to be quick arrival because it's starting to turn fall. I'm like, I need to get some. I don't buy clothes much, but then now this is my experience.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, but you know, it's even crazy. You just talk about, customs and stuff, but like even Toyo tires I talked to one of the manufacturers, one of the head top guys, they're built in Atlanta, Georgia, believe it or not. A lot of people don't realize Toyo tires are built in Atlanta, Georgia.
Okay.
And they can't have enough employees to do the 24-hour production run.
Oh, all that free money.
Yes.
Oh, free money's hurting.
So that has slowed the whole production assembly line of the tires coming out.
Money didn't stimulate the businesses because now the businesses don't have employees.
And I don't have tires.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't sell tires. Mm-hmm. So I got another bragging point about that, man. So Toyo tires, as you know, y'all have heard of Toyo. 2 years ago, because of connections, I met one of the lead designers, and he invited me and 8 other shops across the nation to come tour the facility. Now, this is Japanese-owned, so, no one's allowed to come in this facility. We had no cell phone cameras. We had to put them in a safe deposit box.
Oh, wow.
Dude, and we toured the whole facility and watched how that tire's made. No human hand touches that tire whatsoever.
Really?
Complete robots.
It's
mind-blowing.
Damn.
And then we also got to spec out the new Toyo AT3.
So how the fuck are they having human issues then?
Because that's whoever feeds that material into those machines.
So it's like there's some humans involved, but like once all the material's in and all that.
It's the room for error is what they're after.
Gotcha.
You know, when you're laying the rubber down and we're not going to get all technical because I don't even know.
Yeah.
It was a couple years ago and I paid attention, but I didn't. But anyways, so yeah, there's no room for human error in making that tire.
Gotcha.
You know, being out of round, out of balance, too much rubber on this side, too much was fed into this.
So humans playing a role. But
Where's the computers or what have you?
Right.
So yeah, we got invited to come to the facility. And that was very establishing and proud moment of mine, man, to be invited.
Get that invite.
Then we had input on the Toyo AT3 tire. So I helped design that tire, man.
Yeah. You should have a signature.
That's so cool.
I should.
Where's the just in peace, baby?
Yeah.
You know, the pretty, tire.
Pretty boy tire.
The pretty Toyo. Boy tire.
There you go.
It's not meant for mud.
or snow to get stuck in the mountains.
This is one that you park out
there
front.
Yeah.
To let the chicks know that you do it right.
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy how damn important leadership is, man? Like,
it
think
is.
About it, bro. Like, our whole country right now, you know, this whole move of just like handing out money, this whole way this pandemic's been handled, and it's like look at what it's done to everything, man. It's just like piss poor leadership.
But at the same time, you can also relate it to your story.
Yeah,
you know, having no leaders, you were just winging it,
right?
And then when you started getting leadership and you started getting guidance, that's when you started to accelerate in life and in business, mentally, emotionally, financially, everything. By default, starts getting better because you started focusing on you, right? And so,
but you've always been a good self leader. You know what I mean? And I really think that people need to realize that, dude. Like, you've got to be a good self leader to become an external leader. You know, and like the fact that like you were so like, man, quality was so important to you, and like, you know, you were willing to do the work on your own is the reason that you, you had exactly. That's a great word.
He had a standard.
Yeah, it's. Badass.
And I think that's probably the biggest issue that most people have is if you don't have a standard, what are you living up to?
Right.
Then you kind of just get blown with the wind, right? Like, you had a standard that you wanted everybody, 100% of people, to be happy. So it wasn't that difficult to know what your target is, right? And what you need to do to hit your target. But if you don't have a standard, what's going to happen?
Right.
Whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and you're just going to blame it on the world. Things are happening to you. No, you just don't have a standard. When you have a standard, that's your guideline. Like, somebody has a standard that every morning they get up and they do X, whatever their thing is, whether it's meditate for an hour. Homeboy, Dave, on the podcast previous to this one, when we were there, I don't remember if he shared it on the podcast, but he said every single morning he's up at 4 and he meditates for a minimum of an hour.
Wow.
That's a standard that he's created for himself that he does not fall off of, right? And I think most individuals, even listening to this, even I can do better, in terms of this area, in terms of expanding it, not just for fitness or, you know, what's my standard for reading? We talked about not really being readers, and we get put in a dark spot, and then that's when we want to pull ourselves out. We start listening to podcasts again or start reading again. But what's the daily standard? You know, and when we create that standard and we create that non-negotiable thing that we're going to do, that's ultimately going to put people in a situation where they're going to have a lot less lows, a lot less questions on what the next day is going to look like, because you've already pretty much mapped it out based upon the standard that you hold for
and
yourself.
And when you do that, even leadership at the top that affects our entire country, Toyo can't get people, we're struggling to get people. Yeah. We find ways to do it because we're self-fucking leaders, and now we're external leaders. We figure out ways, we adapt, we do these things to continue to keep our businesses rolling, man. Like, as important as leadership is at the very top, if you're a good self leader and you're good at the leadership of the people around you, we're gonna just keep this bitch rolling, you know.
You know, you talk about rituals.
Yeah. Rituals, habits, rituals, that you are just a man of or woman of your habits and your rituals.
I go to y'all's Instagram every day and I see what y'all post, dude. Oh, nice. I'm serious. Yeah. I don't know who read the message first when I first reached out to y'all.
Yeah.
But dude, y'all's page, it resonates. Every post you make is so powerful and deep.
Yeah.
For the entrepreneur, small business owner, dude, it resonates hard.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And man, I appreciate that because that's how we all got connected.
Yeah.
You know, and
exactly.
I didn't put y'all on my vision board, but mentally is on my vision board to get on this podcast and look what happened.
Yeah.
You know,
it's awesome.
Well, I think people just miss how important it is to take the initial step. Take that one step in the right direction, whatever that, you know, and in your case, that one step in the right direction was reaching out and, you know, maybe joining a group.
Right.
That led to this, that led to that. Like, the dominoes just start falling based upon you starting to take action and wanting to be better. And the universe is like, okay, holy shit. He's really is committing and wanting to be better. He's taking action. Let's put this person in front of him and see what he does with it.
Right.
Oh, wow. He took full advantage of that opportunity, became friends with that individual. Now he's going to be joining that, you know. And it just seems as though that ever since you really started taking action in a different direction than what your initial zone of genius was, which was working on shit, right? That was your first step outside of just being the guy with the tools that can fix shit, right?
Yeah. Right.
And when you started taking action outside of what was typical or normal for you, it seems as though there's just more dominoes, more good shit happening to you.
But I think anybody can relate to that, even if it's like a simple walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why can't, you know, just to get moving.
Yeah.
You know?
I think people don't put enough emphasis on how much one step in the right direction will turn into two, and then three, and then four, and that snowball effect will happen. And you're literally living proof. Over the last 2 or 3 years, you said, you know, you've been on this huge growth pattern, but it all started with one thing.
Right.
Just taking that one step and committing to yourself that I want to be better. And then you actually started taking action towards joining a group or surrounding yourself with individuals that also wanted to be better. And you're taking advantage of every aspect of that you can, and you're soaking it in, and you're doing everything that you should be doing. You're going to continue to be put in the right rooms, whether it's a podcast, whether it's speaking on stage, whether it's helping coach or mentor, you know, other individuals that want to do what you do, right?
Yeah, the road you're about to go down is going to be the same impact that it's going to be for the people it's meant to be for.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I was telling my wife actually not too long ago, and I told Trevor on the way home, I was like, bro, it's funny because I'm just finally realizing, because the vision changes, right? Like, we had this vision to create this Real Business Owners to help other business owners at all different levels, but it's like now it's changing, and it's like hitting me, and especially after talking to Dave, where he's like, bro, leaders are like sometimes chosen, you know, whether you like it or not.
And we had this conversation.
Like, we're meant, bro. Like, the combination of him and I are meant to go do something great. Your mission that you're about to go down is meant to go help the right people for your space and your industry and things that you're going to do. And so it's super cool to see the road that you're going down.
I can't wait, dude, for year 1, 5, 10, after all this, man.
Yeah.
Dude, we're going to be just impacting so many lives.
Me and Cabo doing some other stuff.
Yeah. We're going to be impacting lives, though, man. Sure. And how many lives below us are going to be impacted?
Yeah.
Because I know we talked about it this past weekend in Utah, that how many business owners reach out to y'all on the daily, man, that want coaching and help. Let's figure that out, man.
Yeah, we're doing it.
You know,
no, that's the next step for us. That's why we've been putting leaders in place and things like that. And but again, with any change in inside your business, there's unforeseen. You change this, then this unforeseen thing breaks, or then this happens, or you know, right when you get something structured, you lose a key player, an employee, or whatever it is. There's any time that there's change in a business, it's not just going to be change and nothing happens. You know, it's almost like flipping this switch, and you're just like, what's going to happen here? Is it,
are all the lights going to turn on? There's going to be a spark out of that one.
Yeah, it's like walking into a 1960s and seeing what works, what doesn't, you know, just testing shit. But, you know, that's where we're at right now, and it's always fun. One, you know, we've talked about this early on the podcast was – you know, making money fills up your bank account, but impacting other people fills up your soul, right? And so it just feels good to make an impact and know that other people are better off for information that you've given them, or a phone call that you've given them, or just a simple message or a post, like you were talking about, like my daily ritual. I go check out your guys' posts. So sorry for the days that we don't post.
Bro. It's all good, man.
I'll remember that.
Drop down and give me 15.
Yeah.
Let
it
slide.
So what's one major piece of advice that you would give to, you know, any 1 to 5 year entrepreneur that may be facing some struggles currently at this point? Because I have a feeling that if there's a time that somebody's going to face struggles in the 1 to 5 year period, it's probably right now, you know, with maybe shortages on things that they can get access to, shortages on employees or
parts, supplies,
whatever.
Yeah, right? A lot of industries are facing that.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
We're facing it with employees and, you know.
Don't give up.
Yeah.
Just adapt. Figure it out. Reach out to someone that's doing better than you. Someone that's doing it better than you. And ask them questions. Ask them how they're figuring it out.
And how is that?
Isn't it crazy how
has that served you?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've like after that Toyo thing, when we went to Toyo, dude, these other shops are, in my opinion, they're bigger than me.
Yeah.
And I've reached out to them and I've become friends with these guys, these owners, and we've bounced ideas off each other.
Yeah.
And helped each other out. Different questions. I got a question about a truck that I can't figure out. I'll reach out to him. Hey, what did you do on this?
Have you ever seen this?
Yeah, this Toyota Tacoma. What would you do on this situation? Right. Yeah. So, just building your network of people to throw back onto, man.
Isn't it crazy how willing people are to share if you're willing to put yourself out there?
100%.
You know what I mean? Like, people like to help other people, even if it's like, well, technically he's a competitor, but maybe we can be an alliance.
Yeah. Right. I want everyone to succeed in life, man. There's enough out there for everyone.
I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that are like, fuck them all, you know?
Right.
Sure. You know, I want to stomp on them, whatever. Yeah. But it's
greed, man. Yeah, that's a sin.
But dude, it's your bad if you reach out to somebody that's like that and then you're afraid now to go reach out to somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not all like that.
Like, this dude can reach out to Toyo and talk to some big execs over there and they can bounce ideas off each other, you know? But maybe whatever. Maybe some other tire brand, Michelin, wasn't willing to do that. Oh, well, you know?
Right.
But if you let that shut you down, then you ain't cut out for this shit.
Right.
You know, so true. I love that, dude. Don't give up. Be committed.
Adapt and pivot, man.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Yeah.
I love it.
I would say advice. The two things that we've seen you do is, one, not give up. Two, surround yourself with the right people, having the right network, like you said. And then three, being very coachable, taking action, right? Because those are three things that I see in you based upon the short time that we've known each other over the last few months and, you know, getting to know you better over this last weekend, spending time in Salt Lake together. And then even now, right. Was that you have a no quit attitude. You're down and open to surrounding yourself with new people, even though that can be nerve wracking in itself, right? Putting yourself in new environments. Like, what am I doing here? You know, like everybody feels that. 100%.
Even in Cabo. I mean, it was an example. I mean,
you felt that in Cabo going into Cabo.
Like, what am I doing here?
Do
I
really? Kills a little bit of my security blanket. Like, we roll deep, son. You know, there's both of us. So it's like, fuck, dude. If they all hate us, at least, you know, we're here together.
Yeah, we'll go on a walk on the beach, you know. Yeah,
hold hands and whatever. Yeah.
Close eyes, though. No, you know, I'll imagine my wife.
Hey, we did get COVID together.
Yeah, we did.
Because we did. I mean, we're together a lot. Yeah, but, right. I mean, we'll go do shit on our own, too, right? You can't always have a companion all the time, right? But did we do so much together? It's like we shared hotel rooms, you know, when we got to, it was, you know, all kinds of shit, bro. Travel together.
Sometimes we share a malt shake together,
bro.
Too strong.
Can you put a third in there?
Hey, we're always open. We only order medium, so we can.
There's
order
only one thing
now.
Better than the Doble, bro. It's a trifecta. You know, so,
no, man. How do people connect with you if they want to reach out? If maybe they're, because we do have a lot of individuals that are in the trades type business,
right?
That do follow us, do listen to the account. And so how would an individual reach out to you if they have a question? Or
yeah, sure, man. I'm open. I'll answer any question. I'm open to it all. I'm an open book. So Instagram, my personal Instagram.
Any question?
Any question, bro. Any life? Question. Dude, you can.
Life questions.
What are the questions?
Yeah, I said anything.
Anything, man.
Anything.
I'm an open book.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I really am, man.
I'm
going to be transparent.
Into your DM myself.
Slide in.
Start throwing some questions at you.
Slide in.
Balls, bro.
No, my personal Instagram is JSCHOENER. Yeah. It's pronounced Shainer.
Again. We'll put that in the show notes.
Pretty boy.
Yep.
So that you don't have to pull over.
What's your brand going to be, bro? For
I haven't quite figured that out yet.
Space.
Yeah. Okay. But we haven't got there yet, but it's coming.
Pretty boy.
Pretty boy off road. But no, so I'm Justin Shainer on Facebook. Outlaw Ford of Texas is my company name.
Do you guys have a Facebook page on that?
Yep. We got about 14,000 followers on Facebook on there, about 5,000 on Instagram, Outlaw Ford of Texas. Got a little bit of YouTube going on, same thing. And working on some TikTok stuff and trying to trend around.
Did we tell him why we say Pretty Boy? It's your name.
So
I don't know if we explained it. Did we explain it?
I don't know.
So my German teacher in high school, I took German class.
You know, have you actually fact checked this? Like,
yes, I have.
Or let Facebook.
I've had to fact check it.
Facebook can fact check.
Man, I had to fact check it for some females. They didn't believe me.
Look, baby girl.
Like,
it is what it is.
Exactly. So my German teacher in high school, he was blown away at my last name because he spent so many years in Germany.
Yeah.
And he said, "Let me break this down for you." He said, "Schoen, S-C-H-O-E-N, means pretty, and E-R means boy / man."
Yeah.
So pretty boy.
Now you're a pretty man, though.
Yeah, exactly.
You've matured past the boy.
But we're going to look even prettier sharing that malt shake together.
Hell yeah,
I can just see your next Instagram. It'll be like, "Pretty boy off-road."
Yeah, yeah, something crazy. Never know.
Pretty boy coaching.
Pretty boy coaching. You know, right? Yeah.
If your account doesn't look so pretty, hire Pretty Boy. Boy,
we did get some good photos in the mountains. They look pretty.
Yeah,
you know, I got that Jeep posted up, being stuck, and you know, so
made the Jeep look good, dude.
Yeah, you did look good. Justin's a good dude. You know, if you do reach out to him, he'll answer your questions. Yeah. He'll take the time with you. And I think more of you listeners need to actually take advantage of some of the people that we bring on the show.
Yeah.
You know, individuals literally just at that last event, Arnold, you know how Tony said he reached out to me based upon the Real Business Owners podcast, and now Tony's coaching Arnold and then flew him out to Utah and aren't at zero expense to Arnold just to kind of help facilitate the event. But that's putting this guy now in a situation with rooms like we're in that we pay good money to be in. Right.
Right.
And so this kid is just now being coached by, and Tony even said during the event, I'm going to coach him. That was based upon Tony being on our podcast and we saying, what's your handle? How do people reach out to you if they have questions? Young boy did it.
Right. He did the work.
And now, Tony's tucking Fearless. Under his wing, and he's been in these new environments that he would have never, ever been in had he had not reached out to Tony by simply just dropping his handle on our podcast. And so I think sometimes, hey, if you want to reach out, have questions, I don't think people understand the power in some of the individuals that we do bring on the podcast. It might just sound like, hey, yeah, we're wanting to give you good information, but we're also giving you access to people that are in our network that we pay to surround ourselves with. And so, you know, take full advantage of it. You know, all the individuals that have been on our show are all great, amazing people. You know, individuals maybe like Clever Investor won't respond to a DM. You know, he's got 1.2 million or something like that. But you know,
y'all reached out. Y'all responded to mine.
Yeah.
So hey, yeah, we all started.
That's a big priority for us. So, guys, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. Reach out to Justin if you have questions. Other than that, take care. Kick ass.
Yeah. And thank you all for doing everything y'all do, man.
Yeah, dude, we appreciate you coming out.
Hell yeah, brother.
It's been a good one. So we appreciate it. Take care, guys.
Thank you.